So, now I decided to
What about intestinal surgery?
exercise three from tutorial one and exercise two from tutorial two. I'm going to start from stretch, and you can try to follow me to set up. So if I go too fast, please let me know. You can just say slow down a bit, or you can just ask me to pause a bit. Okay, so let's start. For someone who watch this tutorial in a video, you should first follow the instruction here to set up automatic SSH. If you don't have that, that's still fine. Later, I will show you how to do it manually on the cluster.
Sorry, is this fine?
It's in the you can say in the Slack. I send a message in Slack channel, and okay, so those are some executables on the primitive cluster that I already compiled and tested. They run correctly with this command. So this is something you need to compile if you are using other cluster. And this is a repository of simple boot. So first, I have nothing on my computer, so I'm going to start by download simple boot. It's really everything from scratch. Sorry.
You now know it's from scratch.
So in this tutorial, you will see me make many mistakes. So now, simple boot is downloaded to this folder. Now I need to first step, I have to configure my local workspace. So I'm going to copy this start and change the name. So here I have some script for primitive cluster, but if you open this configure.m, everything is empty here. So I'm going to also set that up. So I will start by creating an empty Mathematica notebook. And I need to open the Mathematica notebook in a fresh kernel.
Sorry, are we recording this or not?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
If you want to ask something, you can ask.
It's gonna be useful.
Okay, so this is a fresh Mathematica notebook. And I will need the simple boot menu for this demonstration. So in the simple boot menu, there is a section say how to load the simple boot in Mathematica. So I will need those command. So I'm going to copy this to the beginning of the notebook. Now I need to change this from ordinary cell to initialization cell. Unfortunately, that's completely unclear on the screen. So every time I change something to initialization cell, I will tell you. Okay, so I save this notebook. Now you see the initialization cell is not automatically saved to a mathematical package. So I have to change a few things. So format, option inspector, and the notebook. And I go to notebook option, file option, auto-generated package. I will change this to automatic. Apply. Now I save this notebook. Control S save this notebook. Now you see the notebook automatically saved to a mathematical package. Okay.
So these last things was to do what?
This load mathematical package.
Yeah, but why did you need to change the setting in the Mathematica?
So I need to make the cell to be initialization cell such that it automatically saved to a .m file. That's mathematical package.
Okay.
This is the file I'm going to send to the cluster to run.
Okay, thanks.
Okay. So also I need to set up the project folder for this project. So I'm going to use this command. So I will choose a project folder. Let me call it tutorial 3B test run. And I also want to, okay, so let me just execute. Sorry, there's something wrong. Okay, good. So now I need to configure the correct directory for a simple boot. So what should I do? I should go to the script and I need to change this config.m such that I can tell Mathematica the correct location of simple boot package. So here you see I have nothing so everything is wrong. So I have to first put my account. This is this entry is the workspace directory on the cluster. So I'm going to worry about that later. Let me first set up my local package directory. So that is, I downloaded a simple boot to here. And the package are this one. So I'm going to copy the package directory to here. And I save this file. Now I go back to here and run this initialization cell. Now you see simple boot loaded correctly. So now I want to set up the project folder. Tutorial 3B test run. And I use this function check directory folder to check if this directory exists. If not, this function will create that directory. So that's, I will do this, but I'm going to use reconfigure. So I'm going to use this one to, so I need first set configure this set the project folder. Now if you look at this command, this change this option to the actual directory. So I'm going to use check directory to make sure this directory exists. So after this, this part, if I look at this folder, you see this project folder created correctly.
So this was everything local, not on the cluster?
So right now I'm doing everything local. I haven't started to configure this to work on the cluster.
But you should do this every single time. I mean, every when you want to work on the cluster, you should configure this folder locally and then.
You can copy an example from another file, but I'm showing you how to do it really from scratch.
Okay.
Okay. So.
Can you make the text a little bigger?
Oh, yes. Thanks. So I will change this to initialization cell, and I delete this part. Okay. So now I want to what I want to do is that I will try to first set up everything locally. Then I start to configure a cluster. So remember the step. The step is that first we have to set up the crossing vector. And second, we need a block specification. And then we have to set up a template, SDP template. And the last one, we have to write a function to actually produce SDP, so actually generate an SDP. Okay, then at this step, everything above, I do it locally. Then I will set up a cluster to make it work with cluster. And the last part, call scanner. Send this job to cluster and execute the job.
Sorry, was it the same of last time? Doing the 4 points locally and then on the cluster, or was it different?
Last time I so right now I'm showing you how to set up the file. Last time I gave the file to you.
Yeah, but I mean, like in principle, you should do the 4 points always locally, right?
Yeah. Okay. Or if you want to edit a file on cluster, that's fine. I don't like that.
Okay.
So first part, sorry. So first part, crossing vector. So the crossing vector is here. I want to set up this crossing equation. So I will go to the simple boot menu. And look at the format for the crossing vector. So the format is this part. And there is an example for using single toilet. So I'm going to copy this part to the to my file. But now I need to modify those entry to encode the correct crossing vector here. So so first, this should be a three component vector, and I should do it for singlet, twistlet symmetric tensor, and anti-symmetric tensor. So for singlet, here I should put zero. F. Now I need a name for the external operator, but I'm going to call it V. So I want to bootstrap O2 vector. O2 charge one operator, or the O2 vector. So this is the term for corresponding to this one. Last equation. I should put this to be H. That's the F plus. Okay, now I'm done with the singlet channel. So let me copy paste this. And let me do it in this way. So I will put f here. Now I want to put the coefficient. One minus two over, let me call it n group. Now I'm done with the traceless symmetric tensor. So now for anti-symmetric tensor, anti-symmetric tensor is all the spin. So I should change this to be minus one, means all the spin. So I need to put a minus sign here. Okay, now I finished with the this part. Let's double check. If you see some error, please tell me. I think everything is correct. Okay. So the this is the term involving external operator appear as the intermediate operator, but the vector does not appear in the VVVV correlate, so this is empty. Now for the identity.
Sorry, can I ask a real question? So what does the op mean, and can it be changed? What is the meaning of these two?
This just means this is a simple put notation. You should not change it. It means an operator. This means any operator in that channel. So this part, the format is fixed. You can only change the rep and the spin, spin even or spin odd.
And the names you said, the STA are arbitrary.
And that you can choose. OK. So for the identity, again, it's a three-component vector.
What did you do to create this vector?
Yeah,
it was. How did you create the vector?
What?
What is the mathematical command to create the vector?
Oh, okay. So you put the bracket and control enter on Windows system. On Mac, I'm not entirely sure.
You can also go to insert table matrix.
Oh, yes, yes. You can insert matrix from here.
Okay, new.
But if you're uncomfortable with that, you can just put put this.
On Mac, it's also control enter.
Okay, great. Thanks. Okay,
one
so.
Thing that makes this kind of nice is that every once in a while you can forget to put double braces. That is just like a world of headache, right? If it's supposed to be like a matrix with one row.
Yes.
Yeah,
you can just do matrix with one row dot t. So when you transpose that.
Okay, so the identity should be this one, but plug in zero. Okay, I'm done with the identity. So now the derivative. First one is odd, second one is also odd, last one is even.
So can you remind me what is FP?
So f means the f just f and h stands for the convolved block. Fp means the block, but you plug in something. So here you plug in identity, but this is
okay. It's a specific delta.
Yeah. Yes, but this part represents the Coase equation. So for in this part, you can only plug in either zero or one of the external operator. You should not write an arbitrary number here.
Why not?
Because this whole part represents the Coase vector like this.
Yeah, but what if I want a specific operator to be the some protected operator.
Yeah. Okay. So that part represents this situation. At this step, I haven't started to set up bootstrap condition.
Okay.
Later, when I set up bootstrap condition, I might demand a certain operator exist in certain channel. I might demand some gap, but this will come later.
Okay.
So this is like the Hyperion design. You have a project in one file and the setup of the equation in another file.
Okay.
Yes.
So the last number after BBBB in the parentheses would be the dimension of the identity? Or?
You mean this?
Yeah.
This represents identity. This is a specific symbol here.
Uh-huh.
This zero represents identity. You cannot put one here. You can either put one of the external operator here or put zero here.
By putting an external operator, you mean put epsilon.
Yeah,
what do you actually write there?
Yeah, right. Sig, epsilon, or what?
The dimension.
So, for example, you can put a V here, the name of the external operator.
Okay,
fantastic. Good.
Thanks. Okay, so then here external operator is V. Okay, I think I'm done with the crossing vector. So let me make this initialization cell. Okay, so next part, second step, block specification. I will go to the simple boot manual and an example looks like this. So I'm going to copy this here. And let me take this name. Now, for right now, I'm trying to set up the project. So at this stage, I want to use something simple. So let me put the due to be 5, and let me just choose a few spin. So I will try to see if everything run correctly. Then later, I will increase the derivative and the spin. Okay, so now next step, I want to I have to tell simple boot about the blocks and the derivatives. So that's this command. And I need this variable here. This variable here. So let me execute those cell. And okay, this one run correctly. Now I'm ready to do SDP template. So I have to look at the manual to remember which one is which. So this is a function produce a template for the condition. I can use whatever name for it. So let me call it my SDP template. This module allow you to define local variable. So I will define three local variable, objective, normalization, and the conditions. So for objective, I need to know how to set up objective. So objective could be one of those. So I want objective to be zero because I'm trying to do this for feasibility run. And I want normalization to be the identity. So this represents for identity. Okay, now bootstrap condition. So to set up a bootstrap condition, I need to use this function. Auto CB3 condition. and it can take a function and automatically produce a positive matrix. So first, I have to define this function. So let me define the gap configuration. So this is This should be a list, and the entry is in the format channel, gap, and spin. So let me start with the singlet channel. So I have three channel here. Let me just print those channel to here. So those are the channel I have to set up. So this is a singlet. In the singlet channel, assume right now I want to bound the singlet channel. So I'm going to define a user defined variable. So delta s is a variable, which in the template it's a variable, and it's a spin 0. Next, for all the spin larger than 0, I want to demand in this channel the gap is larger than delta is larger than unitary bound. So I should put here delta unitary dimension and a special placeholder for the spin. So here I should put a set of spin. But I should only put even spin, so I'm going to use select L set, and I put even Q here. But I want to demand the spin is larger than 1. The reason is that I already set up spin 0 here, so for here I should put spin larger than 1.
Sorry, Ning, the spin inside the unitary bound, is that fixed? Is it a variable?
It's a placeholder represent a spin.
And then you will input something there, like inside?
Oh, no. So what happened in the code is that the code will look at the set of spin you specified here and plug in that to L.
I see.
This L has to be the script L or
I use three notation to represent L, so you can either write this, or write this, or write this.
Okay, but we should use one of the three.
Yes. Okay, so now let's continue with the T channel. So T channel is basically the same as the S channel, but now I should demand the spins also include 0. By the way, if you are not familiar with this function, let me show you how it works. If I put a set of spin here, you see it just select all the even spin. So if you put this to be bigger than 0, it select 2 and 4.
Sorry, in the example from, I think, before from Ising O.NV or something, this analog of delta $s was enclosed inside the command individual operator.
Yes.
So what is the difference?
Individual operator means you plug in that into the block. Then you can put a gap after that. But this just demand delta larger than that. So yeah, let me show you. So for if you put the individual operator there, that means you demand delta equals to delta 0. You demand this to be positive. If you put if you just put a number here, in this case it's a variable, represent that number. That means we demand this to be positive for delta larger than delta 0. So that's the difference.
This delta S, you can choose whatever name you like.
This is a user-defined variable. You choose whatever variable name you like.
Why did you put, I mean, like, so you're using the dollar for some reason in particular?
You don't like a dollar, you can put this. But I like dollar, so I will put a dollar here. So in Mathematica, you cannot put underscore.
Yeah.
Underscore have a specific meaning. Therefore, the only thing you can use as that's this sign. Okay. So let me continue. I'm going to also, now I should deal with the anti-symmetric channel, or the spin. So here I should put all the spin. Okay. I think I'm done with this part. Let me check. Okay, I think there is no bug here. And this is a template. Okay, I haven't handled the condition yet. So for the condition, I'm going to use this function. This function can take the gap function as an argument and produce the actual condition. So now let me check whether those works correctly. Okay, so this one works fine. Let me check this one. Okay, this one also looks correct. Let me check this one. So this one looks good. You see the dimension of S appear in the prefactor. Okay, so it looks everything looks correct. So I'm going to change this to initialization cell. Now I need to save this template. That's this function. Sorry. So this saves the template to my local folder. Let me check if that's correct. Oh, there's something wrong. Oh, okay. I find my error. So this template should return no object of this format. It should be SDP data with the three variable. Okay, let me try again. Now this is correct. You see, it tells me I have two user-defined variable, delta S and N group. N group is also something I put here, but it's a placeholder.
So you're defining all the functions without argument, right? Like all these functions above.
You mean this one?
Yeah.
This one has no argument.
Uh-huh. Is that in gap configuration, you should have like the correct numbers of like
space-time dimension and the spin.
Uh-huh. You should have those two.
Yeah. The reason I designed simple putting this way is that here you specified your space-time dimension and the spin, right?
Mm-hmm.
Therefore, if you define gap configuration in this generic way, if you want to go to two dimension, you just change 3 to 2, and yeah, right, that's it.
You must have 2, right? I mean, like otherwise it's gonna be a mistake. If you put three variables, I don't know.
You mean here?
Yeah.
Oh, this has to be two variable.
Yeah. Okay, thanks.
So the format of this function is given in the note. It's an argument to auto 3B condition. So it can take a different argument. OK, I think I'm done with step 3. Now I will go to step 4 to write down the, so now I can delete this part. This part is just, I try to run it to check if everything is correct. Actually, I should go to my project folder. Open this, so this one should be the template which have same format as the input of SDPB, except all the entry are just a placeholder. Now you see this is the standard format for SDPB.
And so this is what we created with the last command, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Okay, so now the function for generate an SDP. So first, this function, let me go to the sorry, I think I forgot to write something in the menu, but I still remember how to define such function. So I'm going to define, I will call it SDP ON V. So I think first argument is a pointer, and the second argument is the file name. And the file name can be automatic. So this is a function that should that will be called by the scanner. And the scanner will give this function a point. This function should interpret the meaning of that point. So I'm going to define two variables, delta V, delta S.
Sorry, Nick. Now, what are we doing? Are we creating the XML file or what?
No. So right now, we have the template. And right now, I'm trying to use simple boot in high efficiency mode. So in high efficiency mode, what happens is that simple boot creates that template. This template is created once for all. For all the computation in this project, I just need one template. But then this template contains a scaling dimension for external operator and user defined variables. So then there will be a parameter file define those variable. Simple boot also need to call scalar block mod to compute the conformal block. Then those three things will be called by SDP to input mode, and this program will produce the actual SDP. So this is from scalar blocks.
Okay, thanks.
Okay, so this is a function that will be called by the scanner. Scanner will give this function a point, and we have to interpret the meaning of this point. So what I want to do is that I will define this to be the point. But I have a habit to set those points to be 200 digits. So this function set any real number to 200 digits or any fraction. So let me show you how it works. So this function set this one to 200 digits, but the integer are just 2 and 3.
And if we forget about doing this, is this a mistake?
Then those numbers will be machine precision. I think it's fine, but if you are doing really high precision thing,
so
it could be a problem.
Will,
yes.
Okay.
Especially if you do navigate wrong. That machine precision, if you use machine precision, you will really see navigate function are discontinuous at, because the machine precision will be discontinuous at 10 to minus 15.
Okay, so this is really important.
Yeah. Okay, so next step, I'm going to produce an actual SDP. That's this function, generate SDP. So first argument is the value for its external operator, and that's delta V. Second argument is the user-defined variable. So I have two user-defined variables. One is this delta S, and those variable has to be as a string. So this, I give it delta S. I have another user-defined variable, which is n group. And this, let's take, so what I want to do here, I want to do O3. Let me do O3. Okay, then file name.
So now, now you're substituting the placeholders with actual.
Yes, yes. So this is a function. So this, what does this function do? This function takes those arguments and set up a parameter file, and also call scalar block to call to produce the necessary conformal block, then call the C++ code to produce an SDP.
When are the group
functions
called structure constants and everything being calculated?
This, you mean the four-point structure?
Yeah.
So those are calculated separately. The input here is just a crossing vector. It's essentially the crossing equation. I erased it, but...
Sorry, 1 minus 2 over n is one of those numbers, right? So you already calculated them.
The measurement file will be hands on the current one you are. No, the other
aspect of file. You mean those?
Yeah.
Oh, so it's here. So I'm giving the causing equation to you.
Okay.
We start from here.
I see. Okay.
Okay. So, now I think I finished step four, and now I want to so to actually test run this, I need to run it on the cluster. Of course, if you have those binary on your local laptop, you can actually do it on your local laptop. But now let me try to set up a cluster. So I'm going to create a new folder for it. Sorry, it's a bit slow. So,
program, like a GUI for
the
terminal kind of thing?
This is a specific terminal. It's this one, mobile xterm. That's only for Windows. Okay, so I have nothing on the cluster, so I will start to download the simple boot package. Sorry, I have to reconnect. I hope the network works. Oh no, that's bad. I have to connect to another Wi-Fi.
This is always the biggest challenge. Trying to get something to work with the shred of Wi-Fi is worse.
Okay, it works. So I go to this folder. I'm going to download the simple boot package to the cluster. So now you see the package is here. So to set up the I have to set up the config.m. Here I should set up the cluster. So this is the simple boot package on the cluster. I also need to choose the workspace folder. I can choose any folder that I have write permit. So I'm going to choose the arbitrary one. I will just call it workspace.
Should you do the same even for the one in the cluster, like the config that I'm in the cluster, should you just change it?
No, right now I'm change this on my local laptop.
Yeah, but it means like.
So I will tell you later.
Okay.
Okay, so next step, I have to specify those binary. So I'm going to specify those binary. I will need a scalar block mode, and I need a scalar block SDP to input mode. That's here. I need a SDP, SDPB. So in my script, I have a special environment variable. If you look at this script, I have this variable. This variable actually extracts the number of core per node. So let me show you. If I use so it tells me on the login node, that's 24 core. And if I switch between different queue, this variable will contain the correct number of core per node. So I'm going to replace all the 40 by this variable so that it's always the right number of core. So let me replace those. Okay, let me check. I think everything is correct. So package workspace. Okay, I think everything is correct. So now what I want to do is that I want to check whether the cluster works properly. So first I will create the kernel and let me run all the initialization cell. Okay, so now I'm going to ask the simple boot to install workspace for me. So this command will install the workspace to the install the workspace to this folder. So let me try that. And I go to the cluster. I see the workspace folder. So simpleboot upload those script to the cluster.
So it uploads the same scripts folder from local?
It upload the script in your local laptop to the cluster. But the only thing it changes is that the installer set the local, this is the file on the cluster. This is on the cluster. So it set the local package directory to be the cluster package directory. The reason is that now this is running on the cluster, therefore local package directory should be this one, not the one on your laptop.
So if that command is not working, I could just upload it myself, right?
Yeah.
Change that line.
Yes. Okay. So now let me check a few commands to see if things work properly. So let me just execute some mathematical command on the login node to see if it's okay. So this, okay, now this doesn't run correctly. It says, can't open the notebook. So the reason is that I forgot to upload the notebook to the cluster. So I should first upload. Now if you go to the cluster, indeed it uploaded my notebook to the cluster. Let me rerun this.
Sorry, what does it mean upload the notebook, this notebook?
This is a notebook on my local laptop, right? It's this notebook.
Okay.
Yeah.
But that command uploads a .m file, which is the initialization cell in my notebook. So those initialization cell are saved to a .m file. And that command upload this file to the cluster.
OK, but everything else, it's not uploading, just that part, only the initialization cells.
Yeah, just upload. OK, so it looks like the cluster, I think it works properly, but I want to check one more thing. I want to check whether SDPP works properly. So I'm going to ask it to check this script. OK, it looks like SDPP works properly. I should do it this way. I should put a version here, so. You see, it looks works properly. OK, now the cluster is fine. I finished step 5. Now it's last step, but it's the most risky step. If I made some error in my setup, then I will not get the right result.
Sorry, Ning, at this point, if we wanted to run on our laptop, what should we do? Like the cluster?
I will show you in a few minutes. So I'm going to call the scanner. Let me find how to call the scanner.
Now you can write your own scanner if you want.
Yeah, in principle you can. You are right. In principle, now you can write your own script. Just call this function, produce SDP, call SDPB. You can do those, use your own script. So let me put this here. I want to scan, let me say, I want to scan this range. So I'm going to use generate points in rectangular. This is some function I defined to just quickly set up some. Sorry, what I did wrong. OK. Let's do something wrong. Sorry, I forgot the definition of this function. Okay, let me do it in a different way. Okay, now it works. I think it has something to do when you copy something from notebook, internally Mathematica interprets that as a different thing. Okay, so this is the initial grid of points that I want to scan. So those are the points I want to scan. So I'm going to send those points to the scanner. So this is here. And SDPB parameter, I don't want to change it. Delaunay scanner. So let me change this to be none for test purpose. And so now this is the total command that I want the cluster to run. So I'm going to wrap those commands inside the cluster as an evaluator.
Okay. If you put none, what does it do? Just the grid?
It just scans those points, then terminate.
Okay,
so now I'm going to submit this as a job. But let me first check, is the cluster available so this node doesn't... Okay, I still have two... Okay, now I want to switch to this this queue, because there are two nodes available here. So what should I do? I should go to this script, run MMA job, and change the partition. Okay.
This was on the cluster.
Yeah. I changed that file on the cluster. So let me upload my current notebook. Now I want to submit this job. Okay, let me check if the job is running or not. The job is running. Okay, let me check the output of this job. So this looks fine. Now I have an error. The error is that I forgot to produce the template. So I forgot to add a comment here to produce the template. Let me see, I forgot the, so it's this one. And this is my function to generate a template. So I should resubmit the job. But now, if you go to the cluster, you will see it's already have a project folder. So I have to delete whatever. So this is still running. I should first kill my previous job. Then I should delete this folder. So you can either do it in the terminal, you can operate everything in Mathematica. So I'm going to do it in Mathematica. I'm going to send a command, delete directory, and I should write the correct folder for the, so I think that's cluster project directory. Okay,
and
so
you should do this every time at the end of the.
No, right now I do this to delete the project folder that produced incorrectly from previous run. So let me.
So every single time you want to run something different on with the same folder, you should like delete what was there before with the same name.
Yes, or you can choose a new folder.
Yeah, okay.
You see this folder already deleted.
Uh-huh.
Okay, now let me rerun this job.
What does reconfig command do?
Okay, so let me show you. It's very simple. It just replaces whatever in the, so this variable cluster configure contain a lot of variables. This reconfig command just replace that. This is how this cluster configuration used in the package. Okay, let me check the job. Okay, good. You see, it produced an SDP and call SDPB and find this point is primal. Okay, so this runs correctly. Now, what I want to do is that I should, why it terminate? Oh, okay. It terminate because I didn't call delaunay scanner. So my test run seems correct. Now I'm going to do the actual run. So in the actual run, I want to put this to be a Delaunay scanner. And I want now to put the block configuration to be lambda 11.
Sorry, if you before you put none, didn't it check just the points?
Yes, it checked those points, then terminate. That's why the job already
ended. Did it give you back like the results?
Yeah, I showed you one point.
So that was the 4 points we did.
Yeah, so this point are finished, is finished, and terminate reason is primal.
Okay.
Now the point finished, which is due.
Thanks.
Okay, so I'm going to delete the project folder that I used for the test run. And now I'm going to submit. I have to upload the notebook because I modified here. So I should upload the notebook again. And now I want to submit the job.
So we don't want to delete the previous project notebook now.
If you don't want to, so my previous project folder is for test purpose. I only set number to be 5. But now I'm going to do an actual run. So I delete previous file. Of course, if you want, you can choose a different project folder. OK, so we finished all the steps. But last step, so how to get result from the cluster. So now let me show you how to get the result from the cluster. I should download the file that contains the project data that's defined in this variable. So if you look at the content in this variable, it says it's in the project folder. The name is project status. So I'm going to call SSH download file to download this. Actually, let me submit another job so it run a little bit faster. So if I want two jobs run run different points in the Delaunay string, I just resubmit again. OK. So next step, I should use.
What did you just download?
So this is just a download. So let me show you.
From the cluster.
Yeah. So here you see this already downloaded to my laptop. Okay. So I can now load the job. You see it finished many computation. Why? There is no due points. Maybe I made some mistake somewhere. Oh, okay, there are some due points. Okay, good. I think I didn't make mistake. So let me plot the points. Now you see it's working fine. Okay.
This is from the local TXT, right?
Yes. But every time if you want to get the project, you should download.
Yeah.
And
what does load project do?
Hmm?
What is the purpose of load project?
It read that project status dot txt to this variable, load that to mathematical memory.
And but the Delaunay plot is using the load project or is just using the downloaded file?
This use the.
You have to load it first.
Sorry?
You have to load it.
I think maybe this, I forgot, sorry.
So
I can use it without the load project editor.
Okay, thanks.
What is SV?
Simple boot.
Oh.
So you download from the cluster, you load the Mathematica, you plot.
So we don't need the
Mathematica. I feel this bond is a little bit weird, but maybe I made some mistake somewhere. Let me check.
Reuse is only if you spend money.
Oh, thanks. No. I used all the screen.
Okay, yeah.
Okay, I'm not sure. Maybe the bond is correct. Okay, so this is how you set up things from scratch. But now I still want to take 5 minutes to show you if you couldn't operate using automatic SSH, how you do it.
Sorry, one question.
Yes.
How do I get the list of allowed points, for instance? If I want to manipulate the...
Okay. Good question. So everything is stored in this project, SB project. You see it has an entry scheduled and calculating. I have two jobs. Those are the job ID. Those are the points that this job now is calculating. And there is an entry called calculated that contains all the points.
Mm-hmm.
So let me just try to let me get all the calculated points here. And assuming you want the points is here, and instead you might want you might want the terminate reason. So that's those, or maybe you want to show both. So those are which point have a primal feasible, which point is still feasible. Thanks. So next, let me show you how to, let's say you don't have, assuming you don't have automatic SSH. So then you have to operate everything on the cluster. So how can you do that? Let me first kill all the jobs.
Sorry. But for this, should we have changed the config.tem in the cluster or not at all?
For what?
For these 7 steps we did now. I mean, we downloaded simple boot on the cluster, but then did we change it or not?
So what we did is that operate a simple boot in automatic SSH mode. So in this case, what happened is that simple boot, you have a version of simple boot installed on your local laptop, but then you have a version of simple boot installed on the cluster. And they will commute using automatic SSH, and the simple boot on the cluster will submit, manage the job. If you do it in this way, once you set up everything on your local laptop, you can install simple boot, install package, install workspace on the cluster. Once you put the correct thing in the config.m.
Locally.
Locally.
And you shouldn't change the one on the cluster.
That is changed automatically.
Automatically?
Yes.
Okay, thanks.
Okay, so now let me show you, if I don't have the automatic SSH, what should I do? So let me make a new workspace on the cluster, and it's empty. So first thing I need to do is that I'm going to manually upload my script. So those are the scripts I used. I'm going to just upload this to the cluster. So I'm going to manually set up the workspace. So if I open this, I also have to, so those are the scripts, but now I should change mode. I think if you use Mac, you don't have to do this. Okay, now they're fine. And I have to manually copy the cluster package directory to the local package directory, because now this should be the file on the cluster. Okay. Now the workspace setup fine. So what I want to do now is that I'm going to manually send this my notebook initialization cell to the cluster. And what I need to do now is that I have to set up a script on the cluster to execute, submit a job. So how do I do that? Let me just, So let me just copy this file. And I'm going to, edit here. I'm going to change this, and I change this argument to be one, so that what this script do is that it simply execute whatever mathematical notebook that I gave to it. So I also want to change the queue. Okay. I think I should change one more thing. I think this is fine. Okay, I probably need let me see. Okay, I think this is fine. Now, I'm going to upload this script. Let me call it run. And I upload this script to the cluster. And I need another mathematical, I will need another mathematical script to actually run the job. So let me call it run MMA. So in this mathematical notebook, I should load simple boot package. And I delete everything else here. And I will use get to load whatever in the test run.m. Now, this script should call the scanner, because all the bootstrap conditions are set up correctly here. So next step I want to do is I want to call the scanner. So how to do that? I'm going to copy whatever here to this mathematical script. should put here. Okay, so what's happening is that before I use this function to send those command to the cluster and run on the cluster as a job. But now, because I don't, I'm no longer able to use my laptop to control remote cluster, therefore I have to manually set up the script. Whatever I want to use this cluster as an evaluator to submit before, now I have to do it manually. That's why I copy that to this script. So I'm going to upload this script to the cluster. And now I'm ready to submit the job. So I have everything here. I think I have to make the wrong SH to be executable. Okay, now I can use sbatch run dot sh and run mma dot m to submit my job. So let me check if the job is running correctly. Okay, you see the job is running correctly, and the output is here. Okay, it looks fine. It produced the first SDP and start SDPB. Now if you want to get the result from the cluster, you have to manually download this project status to your local computer and plot the result. Okay, so I showed you, if you don't have SSH, what should you do? Now I want to show you one more thing. Let me delete this project status. So assuming I even don't have a cluster. So right now I showed you manually operate on the cluster. So now I want to show you, if you have no cluster, how to do it. It's almost like the second case. The only difference is that now you don't submit a job. You just run it on your cluster. So for example, right now I'm on the logging node. So I'm not supposed to do heavy computation on the logging node, but let me just show you how it works. So I'm going to run this script directly on the logging node. Sorry, what happened? I should put this. Okay, now you see I run everything directly on the logging node. This is already the output and it starts SDPB. So if you don't have a cluster, you can still use this, just you can only run one job. And there is no job, you can only run it on the, yeah. Okay, I think that's, let me, okay. I think that's the end of this tutorial. Thanks.